The Lord helping us, let us commence our worship today by singing hymn number 89. 89. When Adam by transgression fell, and conscious fled his Maker's face, linked in clandestine league with hell, he ruined all his future race. The seeds of evil once brought in increased and filled the world with sin. Hymn number 89.
the Holy Word of God. We'll read part of the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1. We'll read from the beginning to the end of verse 25. And then from verse 57 to the end. So from the beginning to verse 25, and then 57 to the end. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And, behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marvelled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Now verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth a son. And her neighbours and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. And they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marvelled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to redeem his holy covenant. The oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. May God bless that reading from his holy word, and may he teach us how to pray. Kind and gracious and most merciful Lord, we come once more before thee in this house of prayer. We gather, Lord, to worship here this day. We seek thy presence. We seek thy spirit. We plead that thou wilt look upon us in thy mercy. Grant us each the help we need as we gather to worship thee. Help us, Lord, to lay aside anything unnecessary, the unnecessary thoughts. Help us, Lord, with the busyness of our minds. Grant, Lord, that our hearts, our ears might be opened to receive thy word. Do bless us here this day with thy gracious help. Lord, we need thy help. We need thee, Lord, to draw us in our desires, our affections. We need thee, Lord, to reveal to us the truth of thy holy word. We need thee, Lord, to shine thy light into our hearts, to reveal our need, to teach us, Lord, what we have the need of, to show us, Lord, where we lack, where we come short, to reveal to us, Lord, our sins and failings, and to give us, Lord, that desire to seek for that forgiveness of sin. Lord, we pray for that conviction of our sins and that leading to the Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ might be revealed and made precious to us each, whether young or older. Lord, we thank thee for thy mercy in enabling us to meet together. Lord, we bring before thee each in this church and congregation. Lord, that thou wilt supply their every need. Lord, we do pray for each who are here this morning. We would remember those unable to be here, those in affliction, those, Lord, who are away at this time. Do watch over each and be with them. Lord, do be with any that may listen in to the services. Lord, do follow with thy blessing. Lord, we do thank thee for thy goodness and thy mercy. And Lord, we do pray that thy light and thy truth might go forth and shine forth in this day and generation. Lord, we pray for those with difficult things, those with the hard causes, those burdens that they carry. Lord, we do pray for David Parish. Lord, we remember him in his need. Lord, do visit him, Lord, we pray. Do bless him in his condition, Lord. Thou knowest his need. Oh, Lord, we do pray that thou make all his bed in his sickness. Do comfort him with those sweet and precious promises in thy word. Oh, do make known thyself to him in this difficult path. And Lord, may he have that assurance that thou art with him. And we do pray that thou wilt sanctify the afflictions and sorrows and difficulties that each face from time to time. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt use them. Lord, that we may not pass through them unaffected, unconcerned, unmoved by them, nothing known, nothing revealed, nothing taught. But rather, Lord, may they be used for our real eternal good. May they work together for good. May we prove thy everlasting love and mercy toward us. Lord, we do pray then that thou wilt deal with us as thou dost not deal with the world. Lord, that thou wilt look upon us in thy mercy and reveal to us thy great salvation. Lord, we do ask that thou wilt be with any who have what seems like impossible things. Lord, who any this morning who may feel that they cannot see the way clear, cannot understand the path that they are in, cannot find thee, though they look for thee. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt reveal thy purpose, and Lord, that thou wilt strengthen and help and supply every need. Lord, do bless them with the riches of thy grace. And grant, Lord, that these things might be used to bring them to prayer. And Lord, that thou wilt grant that gift of living faith. Oh, we ask, Lord, that thou wilt work in us each to will and to do of thy good pleasure. Lord, do remove and strip us of our idols. Lord, do look upon us in our need as sinners. Do reveal to us, Lord, our besetting sins. Give us, Lord, that desire to flee from them, to lay those things aside. And Lord, do bring us to look unto Jesus. Be the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh Lord, we ask then that thou would have mercy. Lord, it's mercy we need. We need to find that mercy in Jesus. Lord, it is our only ground of hope. For Lord, we have nothing in and of ourselves that merits anything from thy gracious hands. But Lord, we cast ourselves on thy mercy. We come, Lord, as that publican of old. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, we do pray that we may have that understanding of what a sinner is. Lord, that it might be that our eyes are turned within. Lord, keep us from looking at, on others and overlooking the great need of our own soul. Help us, Lord, to see what we are. To search us. Lord, we pray. And reveal to us each those things that would otherwise escape us. And to bring us, Lord, to thy feet. We thank thee, gracious God. Oh, for that hope for poor, needy sinners in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for that precious blood which was shed for sin, for that sacrifice at Calvary. We thank thee for that glorious life. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for thy beloved Son. Oh, for that glorious person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt give us each that assurance. Lord, that the Lord Jesus came to live as a real man, to suffer, to bleed and die and rise again the third day. And assure us, gracious God, that he is now at thy right hand, appearing for us as our mediator, making intercession. As we come in prayer, pleading the name of Jesus, may we, Lord, have those evidences that there is that friend of sinners, that mediator, that one to represent our cause in heaven above. Lord, do obtain mercy for us. Lord, may we find acceptance in and through thee. Lord, we are needy and we are poor. We come and look and seek for that mercy that's in Jesus, that acceptance before a holy God. Lord, may we prove what it is to be accepted in the Beloved. Do deliver us, Lord, from that sin of unbelief. Lord, when those things are revealed, may we be given faith to believe. Lord, do increase our faith. May we not dishonour thy great and holy name through our unbelief. Lord, help us to believe. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to lean wholly upon thee, to trust in thee for time and for eternity. Remember the children, the young people. We thank thee for them. We pray for each, Lord, that thou wilt be with them and keep them and guide them in their lives. Do instruct them in thy ways. Put thy fear in their hearts. Deliver them, Lord, from the many sins of this world. Deliver them, Lord, from the power of sin and Satan. Do draw them away from the dying things of this world. Give them to see, Lord, that they are empty and they are vain. And grant, Lord, that they may seek for those things that will endure forever. Make thy word precious to them, we pray. Do instruct them and teach them in the way that they should go. Guide them with thine eye. Lord, do remember them and bless them and open up those things before them which are right and close any doors that are wrong. Guide their feet into the way of perfect peace. Deliver them, Lord, from the idolatry of the day. Lord, grant that they may have that discernment given by thee to know what is right, what is wrong, to see the subtlety of Satan. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt show them thyself, that Christ might be revealed and made precious while they are young. And that, Lord, do give them, Lord, that desire to walk in thy ways. And so, Lord, we pray for the young, we pray for older friends in midlife and old age. Lord, in whatever age we may be, Lord, we need that same precious teaching. Oh, Lord, we need thee. Oh, Lord, do bring us away from every prop, every natural help. And grant, Lord, that we may find thee to be our rock, our strength, our shield. Do then help us, Lord, we pray. We're poor sinners that gather here this morning for worship. Lord, do fill this place with thy glory. Do set our affections on things above. Lord, do touch our hearts with thy love. And Lord, may there be those things that remain thy word finding an abiding place in our heart. May we have those things to take home, to think on, to live on in the coming days. Remember us then in thy mercy, and forgive every sin and all that is amiss. We confess there is sin mixed with all that we do. Have mercy upon us, we pray. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 634. 634. When saints together meet, God's goodness to declare, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. Of Christ they speak, of Christ they boast, while Jesus lives, they can't be lost. Hymn 634.
Will you turn with me to the chapter we read, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1. And with the Lord's help, this morning I'll speak to you from verse 79. So the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, verse 79. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So Luke chapter 1 and verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The appointed time had come, and we read of the angel Gabriel going to Zacharias, meeting with him and revealing to him that he and his wife would have a child who would be that one that was foretold, that forerunner, that one to prepare the way of the Lord. The time had come when God would visit his people and fulfill those things that were prophesied in the Old Testament. And this was prophesied, that there would be this forerunner. And the angel reveals his name, John. Thou shalt call his name John. And we read of those things that Zacharias said, having Elizabeth having been delivered of the child, and his mouth being opened, and we find Zacharias, we read in verse 67, Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. And he spoke of what John would do as the forerunner. And then we have toward the end of what he said, what the Lord Jesus, something of what the Lord Jesus would do. He says, and thou child, that is John, thou child shalt be called a prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before his face to the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people, which John did. He revealed in his preaching that the appointed time had come, and God was visiting his people, Israel, and blessing them with that promised Messiah, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us. This glorious person, the dayspring from on high. Oh, this bright and morning star, this one that would come and bring light into this dark world, that whereby the dayspring, that is Jesus Christ, from on high hath visited us. Why has he visited? Why has he come? Well, our text this morning tells us to give light. To give light. To give light to them that sit in darkness. You see, we often use that expression, don't we? Someone who doesn't know something is in darkness. You know, somebody might say, you've surely, even you children have heard the expression. Somebody might say, well, I didn't know. They didn't tell me. I was kept in the dark. I was kept in the dark. We think of ignorance as being in darkness. I was kept in the dark. They didn't tell me. They didn't reveal it to me. I was unaware. I was kept in the dark. Or we think of being in the dark. Not aware. Not knowing. Well, what about you and I this morning? The coming of the Lord Jesus was to give light. The light of the world. It's one of the most beautiful expressions, isn't it? The light of the glory of God shining in the face of Jesus Christ. Do we know something of that light this morning, or are we still in darkness? Are we in the darkness of ignorance? The darkness of not knowing. The darkness of not being aware. Not conscious. We're held in the dark. We're kept in the dark. To give light to them that sit in darkness. You and I, we are, aren't we? By nature, in darkness. It may sound a strange expression, particularly to you children. Your eyesight's perfectly good this morning. You can see it. You can see the contrast between day and night. You see the sun rising each morning, or if it's cloudy, you see the contrast between the darkness of night and the light of day. You have a reminder every day. None of us can claim ignorance, can we, of that? We see a contrast, don't we, every single day between darkness and light. You know, sometimes it goes very dark at night. The sun sets and the darkness comes. And if be there's a sky full of cloud and the moon is obscured, how dark it can be. You know, a little reminder of, for you and I, one day the sun will set on our lives. One day, after that evening time, if in the natural order of things, our lives go through according to the course of man, we come down to the end of our days, and then, as it were, the shadows lengthen on the earth, and we come down to the end of our lives, like the sun is setting on the day. And then what? And then what? these contrasts that we see. I wonder if you've ever looked at each day as being a reminder to you. One day the sun will set on your life and mine. What will your hope be when naturally these things come? There is hope only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there hope only in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there that light, that constant light, that bright and shining light, that when that day comes and that day is our last day, we are brought to close our eyes and the darkness of death comes upon us, the only hope in that day is the light of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Only He can give light in that darkest hour. Oh, may you and I be brought to see the certainty of it. Oh, that the light of knowledge might shine into hearts this morning. Give you the clarity of thought to consider your latter end. Oh, we don't want to. We want to put it off. It's depressing. It's distressing. It's one of life's few certainties, isn't it? Death. The end of our days. The end of time as we know it. But the Lord Jesus came. And came to give light. To give light to them that sit in darkness. To reveal. To give light. We read, didn't we, of the in verse 77. That the preaching of the gospel through John the Baptist would give knowledge of salvation. And really the light of God's light shining into the heart of a sinner does just that. It gives knowledge. And that's crucial, isn't it? Knowledge. You know, you and I need to be taught, don't we? We need to have those things revealed. We're sitting in darkness by nature. It's a gross darkness that covers us by nature. You know, sometimes you can have a very dark night, but it's not dark enough that you can't see anything. You might not be able to see very far or very clearly, but you can make a few things out. There's a few shadows in the darkness. You know, I've been into a place where it was pitch black. And there was no sense whatsoever of anything. The only reason I knew my hand was before my face was because it was my hand. But I could see nothing else. Nothing was known. Nothing was seen. I couldn't see my own hand. I knew it was there. I could see absolutely nothing. Pitch black. Gross darkness. And in that condition of complete and utter darkness, well, you can become disorientated. You can lose perception of things. And if that period of time lengthens, and if you move around in your circumstances, well, then you could end up completely and utterly lost. Well, friends, that's you and I by nature. That's the spiritual condition we're in. You've got perfectly good eyes this morning, but do you see? You've got perfectly good ears. You can hear clearly, but do you hear? Oh, you hear, we've just sung of sinners and sin. You hear it, but do you hear it? The Word of God speaks of sin and sinners. Do you see it in yourself? Do you see that you are a sinner? You see the gross darkness we're in? We can't see where we are, what we are, how things are. That's the ignorance. That's the spiritual darkness we're in. We may have all the intellect. We may have all the common sense. We may have all the faculty of our natural body. But we're in a spiritual way, we're in gross darkness. We cannot see what we are. We cannot see where we are. We cannot see our lost, ruined condition. We cannot see our need as a sinner, ourselves as sinners. Therefore, how can we see and appreciate and value and desire and esteem the preciousness and the glory of a Saviour of sinners? How can we truly value him? How can we truly praise him? Except we see what we are. And how can we see what we are? Except this light shine. To give light to them that sit in darkness. Oh, the Lord Jesus, he was spoken in prophecy through many passages in the Old Testament. But my thoughts went to those words in Isaiah 42. You read it in your own time. That speaks of the office of our Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect in whom my soul delighteth. But you go down through the chapter. And you come to this, verse 6, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Well, who are these? Who are these that are these with blind eyes, that are prisoners in the prison, that are sitting in darkness in the prison house? Who are these? Friends, it's you and me. In our natural condition. And we need the Lord to shine his light. And we need the Lord to shine a light on our situation. And we need the Lord to illuminate and reveal that where we are. Where are you this morning? You're in Swavesey Chapel. But where are you? Where are you spiritually? Far off from God? In the world, without God in the world, without any hope of God, any hoping in God, any trusting in God? Are you sitting in darkness this morning? Well, if the Lord shine his light, he'll reveal where you are. And friends, when you see where you are, oh, you will not like what you see. When the Lord shines his light, when Christ is revealed, what will it do? What will be the effect? Well, there must be, mustn't there, another contrast scene. Just as darkness and light, day and night. What a difference. What a contrast between a sinner and the Saviour. What a thing is seen when the light of the truth of the Word of God is shone into the heart. You know, when the Lord measures you against his holy law, when he gives you that spirit of self-examination, gives you to see what you've done, your behaviour, your conversation, the way you've lived your life to this point in time, how you've not lived it to the glory of God, how you've served yourself, how you've pleased yourself. How many sins in the light of the glory of God shines into the heart? And the holy law of God is applied. How many failings? How many sins? Oh, the filth that's revealed. Oh, the darkness. Oh, the dungeon that you're in by nature. Oh, the misery of the condition of the soul. Who can see it without the light shining to reveal? Who can see it except God reveal it to that one? And friends, what a mercy this morning if you find something in yourself that causes you concern. Something in yourself that causes you to be concerned over yourself as a sinner. That's what we sang. That's why a sinner's a precious thing, isn't it? A sinner that knows he's a sinner. You know, there's a terrible day coming, isn't there? You know what a terrible day that would be. The first time you and I ever realise we are a sinner is when we are brought in guilty before God on that judgment day. What a terrible thing that will be. If the first time we see ourselves as a sinner is when God brings us to stand before him at that judgment day. I you know, there's a few certainties in life. This is one certainty. Every single person will know they're a sinner one day. Without doubt. Without doubt. Every single one. The mercy of God is that these things are revealed while we are in time. While we are on, we might say, praying ground. While we are in the land of the living. That is where the mercy of God is to be found. That is where the glory of the gospel is made known. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. You see, there's a shadow over every one of us this morning, isn't there? Shadow casting over everyone, and that's death. Oh, is that a shadow that you can see? You know, when you're in pitch black, you cannot see a shadow at all. There is no shadow, is there? Oh, I wonder if there's a few this morning. Oh, you can't say you're walking in gospel liberty. You can't say that you're walking in the light of the glory of the grace of God. You can't say maybe this morning you know the love of Jesus in your heart. But you're not in total darkness. You're not in the blind ignorance that you once were. Oh, there's a little contrast, even in the darkness you're in. Why? Because the day spring. Oh, is beginning to rise. It's beginning to bring a little contrast between the pitch black and the dark. Maybe it is. It's not just a light shining on. It's not for you the contrast and an immediate sense. But there's a here a little, there a little. This teaching and revealing and a showing you. Here a little, there a little. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. And what is it this morning? There's a shadow. You see the shadow of death. You fear it. Something that you've not known before. Fear of death. Fearing not just the uncertainty of it. More than that. Not just the fact it's an unknown thing. Not just it's a fact of separation from what's known, but the shadow of death is the judgment day. And the question is, how stands the case, my soul, with thee? Am I ready? Do I have a hope in my death? Do I have any prospect? Or is there any glimmer of light? Is there any hope for me? As the shadow of death is brought on because the Lord is bringing you to consider something of your sin. He is bringing you in guilty now. Why? That he might make known his great salvation. Oh, what a mercy, friends, if the Lord brings us in guilty, gives us that sense that we've sinned against a holy God. What a mercy that is, to be convinced of it now, that we might flee for refuge to that hope which is set before us. In the person of Jesus Christ. He is that light of the world. Yes, the light that illuminates, the light that teaches, the light that reveals and gives knowledge. But it's not It's not just that knowledge of our failing. Oh, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came as that light of the world to bring hope. Oh, that light to bring that light and that life and that liberty. You see, John writes of it in his gospel at the opening chapter, doesn't he? He takes the reader right back to creation, and the Word was with God. And we read here, in him, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. Oh, the light is shining. Oh, and in that coming of the Lord Jesus. Oh, what a light shone. That which was promised came. That which was prophesied of was realized, was revealed. Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners, like a shining light, drawing sinners. You know, when you shine that light, how many things at night flee to that light, don't they? Oh, now, friends, what a precious thing. If that light is what draws you and I. Does it? You know, if the Lord has prepared your heart, then Christ is revealed, it draws you. Even though you feel that you're shame, you're embarrassed, you feel to be a sinner. You don't feel worthy of approaching. You don't feel you can come. Yet you are compelled. You are so compelled and attracted in a need as a sinner. And the Lord Jesus as that light of the world, drawing sinners to himself. Why? Oh, that they might find their every need met. Oh, what a merciful God that teaches our need and reveals our need and then gives that sense and understanding and belief in that precious answer to that need. And brings the remedy, brings the precious Saviour of sinners into view. And so attracts that the heart goes out after and seeks for that forgiveness, for that cleansing. And seeks for that pardon. And seeks for its perfections. And acceptance in Jesus. Oh, this light of the world. To give light to them that sit in darkness. And in the shadow of death. To guide our feet. Into the way of peace. You know, he's that light to reveal, to teach. He's that light to guide. How can you walk in darkness without a light? Oh, to have that that guide, that guide to direct. Oh, that one to guide us, to lead us in that way everlasting. We've not walked that way before. We've walked our own way. We've walked according to the course of this world. We've walked in the ways of sin. We've not walked in the truth and the light of the glory of the grace of God. We've not walked the path of a believer. We've not walked in faith. We've walked by sight, feeding our flesh, feeding our sinful minds, following our own lusts, our own inclinations. How can we walk? How can we walk in the newness of life? How can we walk as believers? How can we walk that straight and narrow way? We're used to the broad way. We're used to going with the way of the world. We've had many companions to encourage us in the ways of sin. How can we walk? How can we walk that straight and narrow way? Except the Lord Jesus guide us. Except he shine that light upon the path. Except he illuminate the way. Except he give us that faith to walk, trusting, believing, desiring to be followers of him, walking the path of faith and prayer. Oh, to give light to them and to guide our feet into the way of peace. The way of peace. That way of life and peace. You know, the Lord Jesus, he spoke of himself, didn't he, as the light of the world in John chapter 8. He delivered that woman that was brought before him. She had been accused, caught in the act of adultery, and there she was brought before him. The Lord Jesus said to her, "Where are thine accusers?" He'd sent them out. He'd shone a light upon them, hadn't he? "He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone." One by one they'd gone out. "Now, woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." And then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You know, dear friends, that's it, isn't it? Oh, to have our hearts opened, to be instructed, to be taught, to be revealed to us our need. Lord Jesus, give us that view of himself, that when we've had due consideration of ourselves, we're able, by his grace, to look away, sick of ourselves, looking to the Lord Jesus, finding in him everything we're not, everything that we need, and then having viewed him, having that glory revealed, the love of God in our heart, then to follow. You see, he's to be followed, isn't he? And how can we follow? And how can we accept some man should guide us? A glorious God-man to take us by the hand, to lead us, that we might follow him, walking in his steps, following him. "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." You say, "Well, I wish I had more light this morning. I'm not walking in the same light as I did when I first began. And why is that? Why is that, friend? What has come? What has slowed you down? Is it your sins that have separated between you and your God? Or is it a fresh contraction of guilt? What's your hope this morning? Back to the feet of Jesus. Ask the Lord to bring you into that fullness of the light. Oh, ask the Lord to bring you into that nearer sense, with a clearer view, with a closer walk. Help you to cast aside, to lay aside every weight and that sin that does so easily beset you, that he might help you to run with patience that race that's set before you, looking unto Jesus. He is the author, and he will be the finisher, and he will complete, and it will be finished. And he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, that the Lord would give us that clear and bright light shining into our heart, revealing all that we need, and revealing the way that we should walk, and drawing us closer and closer as we journey. The Lord Jesus came because his poor lost people were lost and ruined in sin, because they couldn't deliver themselves, because they couldn't find a way themselves. And he came to be that light, and he came to be that guide. And oh, may he guide us each into that way of perfect peace, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. May God and his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school will be at Bethany this afternoon at 2:30. And Mr. Robert Field is expected to preach on Friday evening and next Lord's Day. And the Friends at Oakington hold their Christmas service on Saturday evening. Let us close with hymn 403. 403. Come, every gracious heart that loves the Saviour's name, your noblest powers exert to celebrate his fame. Tell all who fear the Lord below the debt of love to him you owe. Hymn 403.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.